In the sprawling Newport Beach mansion that feels more like a gilded prison than a home, step-siblings Rayleigh Adams and Colton Knox orbit each other in a relationship so toxic it burns. Their story ignited 5 years ago when Colton discovered Rayleigh had lost her virginity to the school quarterback, a revelation that triggered a possessive rage, culminating in their first violent, passionate encounter in the pool house. Since then, they've been locked in an escalating war of vengeance and desire that neither seems able to escape. What makes their connection so dangerously compelling is how it exists in the gray area between consent and coercion, between passion and violence. When Colton releases an intimate video of them at a charity gala, Rayleigh retaliates by setting his $3.6 million Lamborghini ablaze, wearing red Louboutins and Russian red lipstick because, as she declares, you need to look your best when showing you're crazy. Their relationship isn't just toxic, it's addictive, a drug neither can quit despite knowing how it destroys them both. Have you ever found yourself drawn to someone who's absolutely terrible for you? That inexplicable pull toward chaos instead of peace? This is the central question at the heart of their story, whether their bond represents a twisted form of love or merely a destructive obsession neither can break. The relationship between Rayleigh and Colton operates on multiple levels of dominance, physical, emotional, and psychological, each layer revealing new complexities. Their encounters balance his need to control against her conflicted desire to submit, creating the tension that drives their story. In one revealing scene, Colton forces Rayleigh to service him publicly, then brings her to the edge of pleasure before denying her, a calculated display establishing his dominance both sexually and socially. Yet Rayleigh isn't merely passive. She wields her own power through her sexuality and unpredictability. Her small acts of defiance, wearing unapproved clothes, speaking to forbidden men, become weapons in their power struggle. For her, submission sometimes becomes an escape, a way to relinquish responsibility. Their dynamic reveals deeper truths. Colton's need to control stems from fear of losing her and his own emotional inadequacies. His displays of power often coincide with moments of insecurity. Tension between public perception and private desire creates a powerful undercurrent throughout their story. Both maintain carefully crafted personas, Rayleigh as a composed law student, Colton as a controlled businessman, while harboring secret desires that contradict these appearances. The viral sex tape transforms their private relationship into public spectacle. Rayleigh faces judgment at parties where former friends avoid her. This exposure becomes simultaneously shameful and liberating, forcing her to confront suppressed desires. This theme culminates when Colton makes Rayleigh strip naked before his friends and her ex-boyfriend. As she kneels, trembling, confessing her darkest desires, the moment becomes both humiliation and catharsis. Many of us live with similar contradictions, presenting curated versions of ourselves while hiding true desires. Rayleigh grapples with gender double standards while finding herself aroused by scenarios contradicting her feminist ideals, highlighting the complex tension between our public and private selves. For Rayleigh and Colton, physical aggression becomes their primary dialect, a visceral vocabulary expressing emotions too complex for words. Her slaps communicate frustration and fear of vulnerability. His choking during sex represents both threat and embrace, danger and intimacy intertwined. Their violent dialogue extends to ritualistic marking. Colton carves his name into Rayleigh's flesh, branding her as his possession. When he offers his pocket knife for her to reciprocate, it represents his willingness to be equally owned. Her refusal becomes a declaration of independence. After Rayleigh is kidnapped and assaulted by her ex-boyfriend, she transforms from victim to survivor, fighting back with a nail gun. Each nail marks her shift from object to agent. Later, confronting another assailant, she methodically shoots nails into his body to make him experience her former helplessness. The narrative blurs lines between violation and consent, trauma and healing. After her assault, Rayleigh demands Colton reclaim her body through rough sex. Though crying throughout, she insists she needs this to feel like herself again, revealing how trauma survivors might reclaim their sexuality through seemingly problematic acts. Beneath the surface of their toxic relationship lies a darker secret: Colton's membership in the Lords, a mysterious organization with medieval-like rituals, including blood oaths sealed with ancient daggers and initiation rites demanding physical endurance and absolute submission. The Lords operate beyond sexual dominance, executing sophisticated operations with clinical precision, accurately shooting targets and sedating victims for delivery to an exclusive underground club called Blackout, suggesting a well-organized criminal enterprise with high society connections. This revelation reframes Colton's character. His controlling behavior with Rayleigh stems from years within the Lords' hierarchy. His manipulation skills, comfort with violence, and need for control function as professional capabilities rather than personality traits. When he tells Rayleigh he kills people for a living, it's stated a simple fact. The Lord's structure mirrors the power dynamics in Colton and Rayleigh's relationship. Both demand absolute loyalty, employ psychological conditioning, and require submission. This parallel suggests Rayleigh has become Colton's personal chosen one, a prize earned through his Lord's dedication. After being kidnapped and assaulted, Rayleigh struggles to reclaim her sense of self through unconventional trauma recovery paths. Her first step toward regaining control comes through physical violence, killing her attacker in self-defense, and later methodically executing another man involved in her assault, acts that become necessary for her psychological healing. Rayleigh's sexual response proves complex. Rather than avoiding intimacy, she demands that Colton reclaim her body immediately after her assault. When he's gentle, she provokes him until he's rough, healing from sexual violence through chosen sexual aggression that challenges conventional trauma recovery narratives. Throughout recovery, Rayleigh fluctuates between vulnerability and strength, crying alone while appearing composed during the day. She regularly pushes Colton's limits, initiating conflicts that end in rough sex, her way of asserting control even within submission. Rayleigh ultimately heals through her toxic relationship with Colton, using their established power dynamic to process trauma. By the epilogue, she transforms from victim to avenger, finding peace by wielding violence on her own terms. The most profound theme is how obsession transforms into identity for both protagonists. Throughout their 5-year relationship, Rayleigh and Colton become defined by their toxic dynamic until it becomes fundamental to who they are. Rayleigh craves being owned and understands herself primarily through Colton's perception. With others, she feels incomplete because they don't engage with the submissive sexuality he cultivated in her. Similarly, Colton's identity revolves around possessing Rayleigh. He destroys her relationships, monitors her communications, and brands her with his name, genuinely shocked when faced with the possibility she might leave. By the epilogue, they've fully embraced these identities. Rayleigh acknowledges she'll always be his, while Colton recognizes that together we're an explosive, unbeatable team. This may be the most disturbing insight. Some relationships become so all-consuming that separating would require dismantling one's entire sense of self.